We were speaking about in the Midah of Chassidus, that includes this tremendous love for the Rabbanu Shalom, to do things out of love. Okay. V'hinei zos v'adai sha'ava zos sorish shalotia ava hatluya b'davar. Love means that you love the Rabbanu Shalom not contingent on things that you're going to receive. Right? Ela ba'ava what's called Ava Tluya Bedover, that you love the Rabbanu Shalom because he's going to do good to you or make you rich or make you successful. So then that's not really love of Hashem, that's really love of yourself. Right? As we always quote the Kotzke Rebbe, that he saw one of his Talmidim saying Kriya Shema with great Kavana, Yohavtas Hashem Elokecha. So after davening, he went over to him. He said, when you said, V'yohavtas Hashem Elokecha, did you mean you love God or you love yourself? So the chassid said, I said, V'yohavtas Hashem Elokecha, how could I mean I love myself? He said, very easily. He said, when a person says they love herring, doesn't mean that they carry a little fish in their pocket and give it a hug and kiss every once in a while. It means that the herring is tasty, and they like eating tasty things. So they love herring, but they don't really mean they love the herring. They mean they love themselves, and eating herring is desirable and pleasurable for them. Same thing. Person could say he loves the Rabbanu Shalom. It doesn't really mean he loves God. He means that doing what the Rabbanu Shalom wants is good for him. So he really, it's self-love, right? But it's using the Rabbanu Shalom for what's pleasurable to me. So you don't really love the Rabbanu Shalom, you love yourself. Except the Rabbanu Shalom is the object that you can get those things that you want. So Elisa, that's a very nice madrega. It's not chassidus, it's not ava. That's called yira. Yira means I'm afraid I'll lose out. That if I don't do what the Rabbanu Shalom wants, then I'm going to lose out. Yira doesn't mean I'm afraid I'm going to get zapped with a lightning bolt. It means that I won't have what I would like. I won't get as much olam haba as I could get. I won't be a good person as I could be. Whatever it is, if it's self-centered, that's called yira. And it could be very nicely. Yira is not a small madrega. Right? When Klal Yisrael came to Moshe Rabbeinu and said, if we continue hearing the Rabbanu Shalom speak to us directly, we're afraid we're going to die. So you speak and tell us what he said. So Moshe Rabbeinu was distraught. Then how could Klal Yisrael, right, be concerned if they're going to die or not? You have a chance to listen to the Rabbanu Shalom, so you'll die. So what? Right? It's kedai. So he complained that the people are in such a low madrega, right? That they're more concerned about themselves than having that tremendous close relationship with Hashem, even if it's short lived. So the Rabbanu Shalom told him, "Mi yitain v'hoya levavam zel liyira osi kol hayom." Right? Halavai, they should be on this level all the time. Right? It's a very nice level that you're on, right? Of total altruistic love. But halavai, they should be on the level liyira osi, meaning they're concerned about themselves, but they realize that what's good for themselves is doing what the Rabbanu Shalom wants. But it starts with self-concern. That's called yira. Halavai, they should be on the Madrega of Yira, right? Because it's a nice Madrega, but it's not the highest Madrega. So that's what he's saying. To be a Chassid, you have to go beyond the what's normal and do Lifnei Meshuras Hadin. So the level of Ava, where it's totally altruistic, you don't have any self-concern at all, that's already a Midah of Chassidus. And that's the Ava that goes along with Chassidus. Right, not for personal reasons, but totally ela ka'avas habein la'ovid. Right, like a child loves a father. Shehi ava tivis mamish. It's a natural love, right, because of the connection. It's not because what the father can do for him or whatever. Some people love their parents because of what they can do for them. But there's a certain natural love a child has for a parent, right, and that love, what's it called? His nature pushes him without any thought of personal benefit or whatever. Just, I love my parent because I'm my parent. That kind of love, I love the Rabbanu Shalom because he's the Rabbanu Shalom. Not because of what I can get from doing that. Okay, that's a higher level of Ava, and that is what's called the my love ava, that is related to chassidus. Okay. Kemaymer hakasuv, and that's what's hinted to in the pasuk. Haluhu avicha kanecha. Right, he is your father who created you. So you should, you have a natural connection to him. You should have a natural love to your source. Okay. What is the test if that love exists or not? If your love depends on what you'll get out of it, when things are going bad and you're serving the Rabbanu Shel Olam, you're not going to have that tremendous love because you're not getting anything out of it. You're getting tzoros. Said you have to love the Rabbanu Shalom even if he takes away your nefesh, even if he takes away your mama. So we normally learn, it's a tremendous chiddush here, we normally learn that that is a shear in how much you have to love the Rabbanu Shalom. In other words, even if the Rabbanu Shalom will demand that you be killed for him, your love has to extend to that point. And therefore, the halacha is that if you're given the choice to serve Avodah Zarah or to die, you have to choose death. Because your love for the Rabbanu Shel Olam, and the antithesis of that love is serving Avodah Zarah, has to be greater than your desire to live. The same thing goes with your money. You have to be willing to give up all your money for the Rabbanu Shel Olam. That's how you normally learn. That these things are a shear in the Ava. They're the limit. What is the limit of Avas Hashem? It has to go beyond your life and beyond all your money. But the way he's learning is something different. This idea of Yahavtas Hashem Elokecha means you should love the Rabbanu Shalom even if he takes away your life and you don't bend anything from it. Still, the love should be there. It's not a love that is, it's the test of love. It's not the sheer in love. It defines what is that love. If the love is, even if he takes away all your money and all your life, and what's more precious to you is your money than your life, then it's a siman that the love is pure. Because if we dependent on something, here all everything you have is being taken from you. So if the love is dependent on what you get from it, here you're getting nothing. Just the opposite. You're losing everything because of it. So if the love is altruistic, this is the test of love. And it could be that's what Rabbi Akiva said. According to this, it says Rabbi Akiva said, every day I said, you have to bechol nafshecha, right? Afilu notalis nafshecha. And I always said, Mosai ba'al yodi v'akaimena. When will I be able to fulfill this? So the question is, I mean, the Rabbi Akiva was looking forward to die al kiddush Hashem. It's better to live al kiddush Hashem. There's no mitzvah dafka if you're put in a situation. You have to choose death over life in certain situations. You have to look forward to dying. So what does it mean? According to this, it means the following. Rabbi Akiva always said, right? Even if you'll gain nothing from it, it's just the opposite. Your life will be taken away. And that is the real test whether your love is pure or not. And I always said to myself, when will come the time that I'll be able to be Mekayim? Not Mekayim mean to fulfill, but Mekayim like Kiyum Shtaros. When I'll be able to authenticate or affirm, confirm that that's not what my love is, right? I'm not looking to die, but I'm looking that someday I'm going to be able to confirm that that's the kind of love that I have. Something's going to happen that I'll be able to show that even if I gain nothing from it, I still have love for the Rabbanu Shalom. It's not dependent on what I'm going to get out of it. So now it came to the point where the Rabbanu Shalom is taking my life, basically, right, demanding that I give up my life for him. And now I want to be Mekayim, not fulfill. I want to affirm that what I've said all my life, Yohavta Shem Lekecha, was real. I don't love God like Herring. I love him because I love him. Vaharai, I love him now too, even though I'm giving up my life for him. That's what Rabbi Akiva said. So it's a different, completely different idea. It's not, this is the limit of love. How much you have to fulfill the mitzvah of love, till what point? That's how we normally learn. The way the Mesilta Yesharim is saying, this is the test to see if your love is really altruistic, selfless love, or it's love based on what you'll get out of it. The proof will be if you'll get nothing out of it, and the Rabbanu Shalom will take away your life because of it. You're willing to give up your life for it. That means you don't love the Rabbanu Shalom because of what you're getting out of it. You love the Rabbanu Shalom even if you get nothing out of it. Okay, but it explains that Gemara, Mosai Yovo Liodi Vai Kaimena, in a completely different way than we normally think. Okay. Omnam kedei shelo tiyena hatsoros v'hadochim koshi u'meniya el ha'ava yesh la'odem l'hashiv alatzmo beis teshuvos. However, in order to be able to do this, that a person shouldn't be held back from his love because of all the tzoros he's having, that shouldn't interfere with his love. It's like we said, the test of his love. But it also shouldn't interfere with his love because he has all these tzoros. He shouldn't get so bogged down in them that they interfere with his love for the Rebbeinu Shlomo. That a person can give himself two answers to that will help him to see to it that his tzoros don't detain him from loving the Rebbeinu Shlomo. One's a simple one that everybody can make use of. And the second one is only for people with very deep thought, not for the common person. The first one is, a person should say to himself that whatever the Rebbeinu Shlom does is for the good. And therefore, even though I'm having tzoros, but they shouldn't deter me from loving the Rebbeinu Shlom because I understand the tzoros are for my good. Even the tzar and the pain and the difficulties that a person has that appear to him to be bad, and then it's really the ultimate good. It's like a person needs an operation. So he needs something very painful, he needs part of him cut away, but that's going to save his life. So ultimately, what's done, which is painful, looks bad, is really for his good. Right? Even though what's happening seems to be cruel, right? The doctor's amputating his arm, his leg, right? Seems to be cruel. It's really the most merciful thing because you're saving the person's life by doing that. So the doctor's not doing something cruel, he's doing something merciful. And if the patient loved the doctor, he's not going to take away his love because the doctor cut off his arm to save his life. Just the opposite. It's going to make him even love the doctor more that he did something for his benefit that he needed. When a person understands that everything that Rebbeinu Shlom does is for his ultimate good, and even sometimes dying in this world is a person's ultimate good, because the ultimate good is not this world. The ultimate good is eternity. So it's possible a person has to die, and maybe even die in a tragic way in this world, but that's what's best for his neshama for eternity. So even that could be what's it called for a person's good. Whether it's something that appears to be bad for his body or bad for his money, so even though he doesn't understand how it's going to work out for his good, all he sees is bad. He has to believe that the Rebbeinu Shlom only does good, and Mamela, somehow this is for the eternal good of this person. If a person has this thought, it's not going to interfere with his avos Hashem. He's going to be able to love the Rebbeinu Shlom despite the fact that he has tzoros. His love will increase even in the midst of tzoros. In other words, the first thing is, if you want to have real love, it shouldn't be dependent on what you're going to benefit. So even if you have to give up everything, on the other hand, right, when you have tzoros, it does interfere. You question, you know, do I really love that my father does something? I have this innate love for my father, but he does something that I think is for my detriment, and he's hurting me, so that can interfere with that innate love. So the way that it shouldn't interfere is to understand that if the father's doing it, He only does good things, and if it looks to me to be bad, lemaisa, the Rabban Shem knows better, he knows it's really for my good. And I don't understand it because I can't really fathom how everything, you know, is for my good, and I can't see the future. The Ibn Ezra says that that is the meaning of the Pasuk, Boni Matem Lashem Elokecha, Losis Godedu. Right? You're children to Hashem, and therefore don't mutilate your body when somebody dies. Don't mourn excessively by, you know, tearing out your hair and cutting up your body or whatever. So there's all different pshat in what one thing has to do with the other. One is the fact that your children to Hashem, right, have to do with not mutilating your body. So some say since your children, you represent the Ribbono Shel Olam, mutilating your body is a chil Hashem because you're created in God's image and you're mutilating a body that's created in God's image. Others say, Bonim Atem Lashem Elokeicha means that when a person mourns, it's because he feels that he's abandoned, that he's hopeless. So, Bonim Atem, you're still children to Hashem. So even if your parents die, you're not left alone. There's a Ribbono Shel Olam still there. So there's no reason to mourn excessively because you feel helpless and hopeless because the Ribbono Shel Olam is always there. That's what it says in Tehillim. Ki Ovi Ve'imi Azavuni Vashem Yasveini. Even if my father and mother leave me, but the Ribbono Shel Olam is there for me. So there's no reason to ever mourn excessively. It's another pshat. The Ibn Ezra says a different pshat. The Ibn Ezra says like this. I always give the marshal, when we first came here years ago, so we had about 11 families and there was nothing else around except Arabs. And everybody here walked around with a gun. Now it's only some people, but everybody, but not just a gun. They didn't walk around with pistols. They walked around with M16s, M17, M16, and Uzis. Some the chashuv, even I had one. The chashuv of people had M16s, and the schleppers like me had Uzis. The everybody, mamas, walked around. We looked like the Wild West over here. And one of my children, I don't know if I mentioned him because he'll have. But right away, early on, the first few months we were here, he had a birthday. And he must have been 5 or 6 at the time. I don't remember. My wife would know how old he was. In any case, so he, what's it called? His birthday was on Sukkot. So how old was he when we came here?
I think we know.
In any case, he must have been 5 or 6 when we came. Fine. So I asked him, what do you want for your birthday? Now here, birthdays were very different than we were in Chutz Laaretz. I remember the Jacobs had a birthday party. It was my first experience with a birthday party in Eretz Yisrael. And what were the presents they got? Painted nutshells, walnut shells, right, they got. I said, you gave a kid a painted walnut shell in America for a birthday, that was like reason to murder you. The kind of, you got to get, you know, some real Playmobil toy or something like that. Not a painted nutshell, but that's what these children got. That's what they were, what's it called? It was really impressive. So I asked my son, what would you like for your birthday? He said, a real live Uzi. So I said, what's your second choice? He said, never do what I want. You never get me what I like, right? You always want to get me what you like and not what I like. You never want to make me happy. Now, he understood.
Is he still saying that?
It could be, yeah. So he thought that I was a mean father who didn't want to make him happy and buy him a real live Uzi. But the real reason I didn't want to buy him a real live Uzi is because I loved him very much and I didn't want him to kill me and himself and everybody else around, right? So, but he didn't understand that. Right? He's a little kid. He doesn't understand that it's out of love for him that I didn't buy the Uzi, not because I was mean to him and didn't want him to have a good time. But he's a little kid. That's what the Ibn Ezra says. You're little kids. You don't understand. So somebody dies, you think that I'm doing a terrible thing. I took away your father, your mother, your brother, your sister, whatever, right? I know that it was the best thing for that person, the best thing for you, that's what's good for that person's neshama. But you're little kids, you don't understand. So I'll let you mourn, but don't go excessive. Don't be excessively understand. Bonim atem, you're like little children, but lemaisa, I know better, and I'm doing it for your good, not to hurt you. You don't understand, so cry a little bit. But don't go overboard. That's the idea. So therefore, the first idea that everybody can understand, right, even the common person, is this idea to internalize the fact that everything that happens in this world is for the good, And therefore, if tzoras happen, that should not deter me from my avas Hashem. And my ava shouldn't be based on what I'm going to get out of it. That's the first thing. But even if I'm not based on what I'm going to get out of it, but if I'm getting terrible things, it may interfere with my ava. I may think that the Rabbanu Shalom doesn't deserve my love because he's really not my father. He's doing all these terrible things. So I have to have the feeling that the Rabbanu Shalom, what he's doing, it appears to me bad, is really for the good. Okay, that's the first way that tzoras should not interfere with a person's ava.
Now he's going to explain the anfei ha'ava, the branches of ava sashem. See where it is exactly.
But I have a different one.
Oh, you have a different one too. Well, different one too. Okay. Here, perikuf 101, kuf aleph, the second paragraph. Mentioned already, the Mesillas Yesharim says three branches of Avas Hashem, how a person expresses Avas Hashem: Hadvekus, Hasimcha, Vahakina. Dvekus, Simcha, and Kina. He'll explain each one now in depth. Hadvekus hu shi'alibo shel ha'adam mizdabek kol kach b'Hashem Yisbarach. Dvekus means to feel attached to the Rabbanu Shalom, to cleave to the Rabbanu Shalom. Ad shekvar yosim milifanos ulashgiach al shum davar zulaso. The ideal of that, which again is way beyond my madrega, and I assume maybe some of you also the same, that to be so attached to the Rabbanu Shalom that you have no other interest at all. Nothing else, is on your mind. You're totally attached and focused. That's it, focused on the Rabbanu Shalom. He points out, Cheskel Sarna, that there's even a higher madrega, where he takes it one step further. That is an onuf of Kedusha, where you're focused on the Rabbanu Shalom, at the same time can do every single thing in this world and keep that focus. So a person basically is functioning in this world, but he's in a different world. This first madrega is where it could be that he's not involved in this world. He's totally focused on the Rabbanu Shalom. And that's the first madrega of Dveikus, and that has to do with Ava. It's total love. That's what Shlomo HaMelech said in Mishlei.
What does that mean? A person is to be mishdavei to Hashem, it means that he's functioning in this world connected to Hashem. Being in the clouds and about
That there's one madrega where a person is oblivious of everything else and only focuses on this, right? And it could be that he's only on that madrega when he doesn't have other things to do, right? It's not the highest level where he can stay focused and still be involved with other things. When he's involved with other things, he's involved with other things. As Dveikus is, where he's Dovik Bashem, he's totally focused on that and nothing else in his mind. There's a higher Madrega
What does it mean? Just sitting and staring in space?
He's davening. Okay? He's davening. At the time he's davening, he has tremendous Dveikus Bashem.
I don't think he's only talking about when he's davening. He's talking about all of Oda.
But he's not talking about all the time. He's talking about that's a madrega of dveikus that a person can reach, where he's totally focused on the Rabbanu Shalom. Right? There's a higher madrega, Becheskel Sarna says, which has nothing to do with Ava or Chassidus, that's to do with Kedusha, where a person can be totally focused on the Rabbanu Shalom and still be involved with other things, and it doesn't take him away from that focus. That's a different madrega. Here, the main thing is that you're totally focused. Whether you can be involved with other things at the same time or not is not relevant. But there's a higher madrega where a person can be totally focused and still everything else he does in this world doesn't take away from that focus. That's called Kedusha. That's a different madrega. Okay. So that madrega of Dveikus is where a person can reach a level where he's totally focused and nothing else. It could be that it doesn't happen all the time. And it could be where he's involved in other things he's not being Dovik Bashem. But when he's Dovik Bashem, he's totally focused only on the Rabbanu Shalom. That's what it says in Mishlei. Ayeles ahuvin v'yala schein dodeha yiravucha b'chol eis b'avosa tishke matomi. It's a Rambam says. That is Avas Hashem be avosa tishke tamid, a person who's lovesick. He's so in love with someone or something that he can't think about anything else. He just, all he thinks about, he can't eat, he can't drink. That's how the Rambam describes that madrega of avas Hashem and dveikus b'Hashem, where a person is totally lovesick and he can't think about anything else. All he can think about is the Rabban Shalom. Uvigmara amru zal, amru alava Rabbi Lezer ben Pedas, shoye yoshe va'osek b'torah b'shuka tachton shel tzipori, the sadino mutal b'shuka elyon shel tzipori. He was totally oblivious of what was going on. He was being osik b'Torah, and the time that he was osik b'Torah, he was totally cleaving and detached to the Rabban Shalom. That is the time of Limud HaTorah. Could be when he wasn't learning, he wasn't like that. But during this time that he was learning, he was oblivious of everything else. He sat in one place, and his sadin was somewhere else in the other, in the lower shuk. He was oblivious of what was going on. V'hinei tachlis amida hazos u'liyo sa'odim izdabi kach boro b'chol eishu l'chol shoah. The tachlis, the ideal, is that a person should be able to have that focus every second. Amnam lefachos b'shas avoda. However, minimal in the time when he's doing avoda. Avoda could be Torah learning, that's also called avoda, or avoda could be tefillah. Im ohev hu esboro vade shielo dveikus hazeh. When he's doing a mitzvah, when he's davening, when he's learning, right? It's possible for a person to forget everything else and totally be dovik b'Hashem, and nothing else interests him. He's totally focused on that. So that is, at least at that point, right? It could be that it's all the time, right? But if it's all the time, then l'chora you have to at least reach the madrig of kedusha, where you could be about other things. Because all the time, and all you're focused on the Rabbanu Shalom, and can't be focused on anything else, you can't live in this world. So then, if it's all the time, then inevitably you're going to have to come to the madrig of kedusha too. But if it's not all the time, it's when you're ever doing mitzvahs, you're doing your davening, or whatever, that you have this tremendous feeling that you're totally focused on what you're doing, and totally focused on the Rabbanu Shel Olam, that's called dveikus. Uvi Yushalmi Omru, Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, Hoya Omer Mispal, right? An example of this kind of dveikus is in the middle of tefillah. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa was davening, Ubaha Barber Vehikisho, and this reptile came, and I think it was a reptile, and bit him. Velo hifsik filoso, and he didn't stop davening. He kept davening, even though he was bit by this reptile. Omrul Talmid of Rebbe, lo higashta, didn't you feel that you were being bit by this barber? Omrle, yovo alai mitos shahaya libi mechavim betfil, lo higashti. I was so focused on the davening that I was oblivious of anything else. I didn't feel it. V'al hadveikus yizarnu b'torah pamim rabos. L'maisa, it's a mitzvah in the Torah to have this dveikus. Again, whether it's all the time or the time when you're davening, learning, doing mitzvahs or whatever, at least there's an inyan to try to reach this madrig of dveikus. Li'avas Hashem lokecho uledovka bo ubotidba kun v'david omer dovka nafshi acharecha. All of these things, the inyan kol eila psukim echad, they all mean one thing. Shehu hadveikus shehu adam isdabik bo yisborach. Something where he is so focused that he can't be pulled away from it with anything. Nothing will take away that focus, that feeling of attachment to the Rabbanu Shel Olam, when he is feeling that feeling. The Omer Zal, Omer of Shimon ben Levi, Begimul L'shon L'shol Chiba V'Kadosh Baruch Yisrael. The Rabbanu Shel Olam reciprocates, and he refers to Klal Yisrael three ways of how his attachment to us is. Bidveika, bechasheiko, bechafeitza. The Rabbanu Shel Olam is focused on us, and he's chashuk and chafeitz. The heimamish anfei ava ikris. Those are the branches of ava. Just like we love the Rabbanu Shel Olam, the Rabbanu Shel Olam loves us. V'hainu atshuka shezocharti, v'hadveikus, v'hanachas, v'hanachas, v'haoneg, hanimsa be'esek inyonif shelanehav. Right? That it's like a love relationship. We are lovesick for the Rabbanu Shel Olam, and he's lovesick for us. When you're lovesick for someone, you can't think about anything else. You don't eat, you don't sleep, the Rambam says, you don't think about anything. All you can think about is the object of your love. That is the highest madrega of, that's the madrega of dveikus. And again, it can be all the time. And like we said, if it's all the time, l'chor, it has to include the Madrega of Kedusha too, where you can be Dovik Bashem at the same time and be involved in other things, because you have to live in this world. You have to do other things too. Right? But if it's not all the time, then at least, like he says, it should be in the time of tefillah, the time of learning, the time of mitzvahs, whenever you're serving the Rabban Shalom. And you have to be focused on him. The focus is so total that everything else, you're oblivious of everything else. And the proof is the Maisa of Rabbi Chinah ben Dosa, that he was involved in davening. Right? It doesn't say that if the thing would have bitten him when he wasn't davening, he wouldn't have felt it. Right? But at least when he davened, right, he was so dovik b'Hashem that he didn't feel the bite of this reptile. The avos hakdoshim were called a merkava l'shchina. They reached a level where whatever they were doing, they were dovik b'Hashem. In other words, they could be talking to you at the same time. Their mind was pretty much on the Rabbanu Shalom, and what they were talking to you was only to fulfill whatever was necessary that the Rabbanu Shalom wanted to be involved with you, whatever that may be. Even be involved in your physical things, material things, is a mitzvah, right? Like the Bishul Salanter says, your gashmius is my ruchnius. So I can be involved with your gashmius and be thinking about what you need or whatever, or buying my children shoes or whatever, and it's all gashmiistic of things, but I'm totally dovik b'Hashem because the Rabbanu Shalom's ratzon is my children to have shoes. So I'm totally focused on the Rabbanu Shalom, except this is one of the things that the Rabbanu Shalom wants of me, so that doesn't break the focus. That the Avos reached. Whether every Tana or Amora reached that level of Dveikus is Lavdavka. The Avos HaKadoshim reached that level. But they reached that level at least when they were doing Avodas Hashem, Torah, Mitzvahs, and so on. That's the first idea of Dveikus. And again, on our level, at least at some point, a person should be able to have that feeling of totally being involved and attached to the Rabbanu Shel Olam, and nothing else should be able to distract him, or nothing else at that time should interest him. It can happen for a second or 2 seconds or at some special point in life or whatever. Person at least does it sometime, mekayim that mitzvah, even if you can't do it all the time. Yeah.
Is that like saying, like, when you have, let's say, when you're eating, to have kavana that I'm eating so I can serve Hashem?
Yeah, that's like not dveikus. That's kavana l'shem shamayim. I'm doing this l'shem shamayim. Dveikus means I'm totally involved in my total love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I can't think about anything else but him. So it's a step beyond that. In other words, when I'm, forget about eating, let's say when I'm davening, right? I'm not just davening l'shem shamayim, but my davening puts me in a world where nothing else in this world interests me.
No, but I'm thinking outside of Avoda. I think outside of Avoda.
Yeah, so then it's a Madrega more than just doing it l'shem shamayim, but I'm really involved, and my mind is up there in the heavens with the Rabbanu Shalom. Except the Rabbanu Shalom wants me to eat in order that I should, right? So when I'm eating l'shem shamayim, I'm also eating without taking my focus off the Rabbanu Shalom. That's a much higher Madrega than just doing it l'shem shamayim.
That also true if you're using a outside stimulus, for example, music, that will help you.
Yeah, it says the Nevi'im needed to get that Madrega, Menagin, right? Or you need some other stimulus to get there. And it could be that in order to get that feeling, you need something to help you get it. But the music is not the Dveikus. The music is a means to reach that. Right, but we'll get to the next thing when we'll leave it for next time. Simcha, right? Also, is not the simcha is sometimes the things like dancing and jumping up and down or whatever are means to get to simcha, but they are not the simcha. Simcha, we'll see, is a much higher thing. Okay, we'll save my comments about people who go in vans and jump on top of vans, and because they say the simcha kol hazman is nothing to do with simcha. It's not what simcha is. Mitzvah gedol leos b'simcha does not mean they should be jumping up and down and clicking your heels all the time. So we'll see next week. It's something different, but I'll save my comments for next week. Okay. again, dveikus, again, it's a tremendously high level in both things, both sides. Kol shekein, that a person's mind is on the Ribbono Shel Olam all the time and he can't think of anything else. I can say it personally, I can't be masig it. Okay? If somebody can, so I'll let you sit here next week and I'll sit down there. The second madrega, I can hear. That it's possible a person davens that he's totally lost and he's oblivious of what's going on. Right? That I can hear. I could even say that maybe there are some times that, you know, I feel like that. Maybe davening in Yom Kippur or Rosh Hashanah, whatever, you firstly daven longer and you get really into it, that taka, that you're oblivious of what's going on. Right? That's possible. Davening for specific learning also. Person can get so immersed in the learning, and not just learning because he's learning the subject, Torah, but the sweetness of feeling that you're doing, you know, the Ratzon Hashem, I can hear that also. Doing a mitzvah, sometimes there's a mitzvah that really you feel that you're attaching yourself to the Ribbono Shel Olam, you're connecting in, and you're really lost in that mitzvah. Right? Each person has their mitzvah that could do that for them. Not everybody's the same. For some people, the mitzvah is chesed. For some people, the mitzvah is, I don't know, whatever. Whatever mitzvah. The Rambam says that's why there's tarig mitzvahs. Because everybody can find one mitzvah that they can do perfectly. And part of the perfectly of that mitzvah is dveikus. So not everybody has the same affinity to the same mitzvahs. Right? A mitzvah that really interests me may not interest you at all. You'll do it. But it's not really something that you're, you know, really into. Everybody has a different neshama and is attracted to different things and has different personality. And what one person considers, you know, really, you can see just from the Sfarim people writing Torah. You see, everybody's a different chelik in Torah. What really doesn't interest me, somebody wrote a sefer, you know, a thick sefer on an inyan in Torah that I'm, you know, what's it, wouldn't think of spending, you know, months and years on writing a sefer on this inyan. But it really, you know, spoke to them, and that's what they devoted themselves to. And I could see a person like that getting lost in it and really feeling that this is something attaching into the Ribbono Shel Olam. And the other hand, so other things interest other people. So it's possible for even people on our madrega to feel that dveikus at times in certain ways or whatever, even if it can't be all the time. And I think that's a good idea for people to try to, when you're really involved in something and you really feel interested and feel that you're really serving the Ribbono Shel Olam, to try to reach that for a second or two. It's kedai, it's a mekayem mitzvah that without that you don't ever have that mitzvah. Okay. On the other hand, somebody just yesterday was telling me that he had a lot of problems in life or whatever, not somebody from here, problems in life, and he just lost his cheshek. He was constantly saying his dveikut, right? He puts on tefillin, but he just puts it on, you know, by rote pretty much, and he used to feel mamish connected to the Ribbono Shel Olam tefillin. Now he feels the Ribbono Shel Olam might slap him in the face, so he doesn't feel that close anymore, whatever. That was his. So I told him, Lamaisa, you know, it's very nice to have dveikut or whatever, but Lamaisa, you have to do the mitzvah whether you feel that or you don't feel that. And mitzvah goreres mitzvah, if you'll keep doing it and you're interested in getting that back, then the mitzvah will help to bring you back to it. That's beyond that, the Chafetz Chaim says, a marshal doesn't really apply today. When they used to have watches that you wound, so if the watch stopped and you'd stop winding it, it would get rusty and you never could fix it. But even if it would stop, you continued winding it until you get somebody to fix it, right? At least it didn't get rusty and you could fix it. Okay, whether that's true or not, I'll let Chagi decide. But in any case, that's what the Chafetz Chaim says. So he says, Mela, even if you feel not attached, but you keep winding the watch, eventually you'll be able to fix it. Right? If you stop davening, stop putting on tefillin, right, you're never going to get to feeling anything. But if you keep doing it, even when it's only rote, eventually, and you want to reach that level, then eventually mitzvah goreres mitzvah, you'll feel something. And again, the main thing over here is it's not all or nothing. Right? If I can't be dovek by Shem all the time and have this tremendous feeling, you know, then it's not worth it. No, it's worth it for 1 second. Even if you get it, if 1 second's kedai. And 1 second, mislama, people who are interested and know that there's such a thing could reach it for 1 second, and not in everything, not every day, but things come up. So it's not an irrelevant thing to us. It's relevant if you want to make use of it.